AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
You're tuned in to the Gangster Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be listening from. You are listening to another episode of The Gangster Chronicles, and my name is Alex Alonso, and I'm here with my two brothers.
This is Reggie Wright.
And James McDonald.
That's Reggie Wright Jr. Reggie Wright Jr. So I want to thank everyone for listening to another episode, and first thing I want to do is quick little fact check on a couple of things that we talked about last week. When we were talking about the Compton Crips, I mentioned Head Honcho came with another dude, but for whatever reason, I couldn't remember the other dude's name, and that was Mac Thomas. Famous Compton Crip. I don't know why I couldn't remember his name, but Mac Thomas actually, he got killed in 1978. So it was Mac Thomas, Head Honcho, both from the east side of L.A., moved to Compton, started the Grandees, the Compton Crips, mm-hmm. and that's what really got the ball rolling. Have you ever crossed paths with Mac Thomas, James?
No, I haven't. What's his name? Potato?
No.
Potato Head?
No, that's another thing.
Oh, that's somebody else?
Yeah, that's another topic that we talked about last week.
That's cool.
But Mac Thomas lived on 103rd on the east side. Head Honcho lived in Watts, and they both moved to Compton together and started the Grandees. So that was just, I couldn't remember his name. It slipped my tongue, but he was a young, swole dude. I seen some pictures of him, and well-known Compton Crip. In fact, he was there. That goes into another fact check. Last week, I also said that the first murder was of Fred Garrett, December 1972. And it's partially correct. The first gang-on-gang murder was Fred Garrett. Garrett was a brim, and the Crips had killed him. But the very first murder that the Crips committed was in March of that year against a guy named Robert Ballou, high school football player from L.A. High at the Palladium, March of 1972. And, in fact, Mac Thomas was present at that 1972 Palladium incident. And that's what really put the Crips on the map. March 1972, and they stomped Robert Ballou out for the leather coat. There was no gunplay. There was no knife. They just beat him up. And that's what made all the headlines about the Crips.
Yeah, I got to do a history check on that one because I right now I can't say that's the actual truth.
No, I know that for a fact. March 1972. Yeah. Okay. In fact, I interviewed two of the guys that went to prison for that. Four guys went to prison for it. Judson Baycott, West Side Crip. Bobby Creer, Big Bob the Hawk, West Side Crip. James Cuz Cunningham, another West Side Crip. And Ricardo Bub Sims. Those four dudes all went to prison for that. And I interviewed Judson Baycott and Bobby Creer, which you guys can check that out on my channel, Street TV. I did that interview, I think, in 2014. And Judson Baycott actually says in the interview, I never put a hand on Robert Ballou, but I did 13 years for that. He went to prison. He got out in, well, he went in 72, got out in 83. So he did 11 years for that. Bobby Creer got out in 79. So he did, what, 7 years? Mm-hmm. Ricardo Bub Sims got out. And then he ended up getting killed. And then James Cuz Cunningham, he got out and stayed away. Stayed out the way. He doesn't even show himself anymore.
That's good.
But I've always wanted to interview him. And all the OGs over there say, you'll never even get to meet this dude, probably.
Never know where he at.
Nah. So those are the four dudes that went to jail for that. And the two guys that I interviewed, Judson Baycott and Bobby Creer, said that a young Johnny Cochran was in the audience watching the trial the whole time.
Probably was a DA there. You know, he was a DA at the time.
Yeah, this was 72, so yeah, I don't know his timeline. Yeah.
He didn't become a defense attorney until the early 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just wanted to give everyone the date on that. Reggie, you brought this up last week about Potato Head doing that shooting.
Paul Pol.
I looked it up. That happened on April 2nd, 1989. And I read the appeal that Paul Gregory Watson filed, and I saw your name is all in the appeal as the cop that testified about the gang structure and the culture in Compton at that time.
Yeah. Well.
So that's a quick fact check, but all right, let's get it.
So he won't be getting out on appeal if I testify.
No. Yeah. You know what? There has anyone ever got out that was on death row that is free now from California? I'm trying to think. We've got some people who got their sentences commuted to life.
Yeah, I don't know nobody getting out from death row.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone has actually been released that was once on death row in California. Now, other states it's happened, but I don't think in California. All right, let's get into our first topic.
Hey, before we get started, I wanted to give a shout out to one of the homies that from the neighborhood that died.
Who's that?
His name is Pierre. Stephen Rhodes.
Yeah.
Stephen Rhodes, Pierre, he died this year. He just got out. From doing about 17, 18 years, and he died from some health conditions, I guess. And so just wanted to give a shout out from that, from the Malparu area, Peter, Stephen Rhodes, Pierre.
Yeah, rest in peace to Stephen Rhodes.
Yeah, I see that. I've seen the pictures, and it was shocking to me because, you know, I ain't seen him in years because he was doing fair time. And his brother recently died 4 years ago.
Michael Rose.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was from the same thing, but, man, rest in peace. Sweet Daddy was what we called him back in the days.
Sweet Daddy.
Rest in peace, my brother.
Was he from Malparu?
Yeah.
And how old was he?
Sweet Daddy was...
He's a year older than me, so a year younger than
you. No, he was older than me.
No, he's Dwight, so... No, him and Dwight...
64. Yeah. Sweet Daddy would be 55 right now.
Yeah, him and Dwight was tight. My best friend. Still right. So 2 years older. Yep, you're right. 2 years old. Right.
Well, a big shout out. Rest in peace to Sweet Daddy.
Oh, I got something to say. Yeah. Gangs of Thorns. Who watched that?
I'm one of the probably 1% of the population that does not watch that show.
Oh my God. Well, I hate that ending. No, man, I hate that ending. But all right, we'll talk about something else. But man, best stuff on TV for the last 10 years, and they're going to go out like that.
All right, so like we did on last week's episode, these following topics are all inspired by people that went online and checked out our Instagram page or our Facebook page and left comments and questions. So for those who are interested in bringing up a topic for us to talk about, go visit the Instagram page at Gangster Chronicles and leave your comments and questions there, and we'll take a look at it. So our first topic comes from, actually, I don't know who it comes from, but someone wanted to know, does Big Kaz from Rolling 60s Crip, actually own Tupac masters?
No.
Now, I don't think he actually said he owns the masters. I think from an interview that I listened, he said, I'm in possession of them.
Yeah, he knocked me and Suge out, is what his bitch ass said.
So what, he came up to death row, confronted you and Suge?
I ain't never seen that man before in my life. I ain't never been in my possession, in my presence any time in my life. He's just an outright liar.
Is that right?
An outright liar. This dude, he makes up stuff to make himself seem like he's bigger than what he is. I done heard where he's talking about he owns the Bone Thugs and Harmony's masters now, which... it's another lie. We all know Ruthless and the Easy and all of them.
Well, maybe he got you confused with someone else. Did he ever come up there and take the masters from someone and he thought it was you?
He said on a hard drive.
Or the hard drives, yeah.
Come on. Tupac was recording in 95, 96. Anybody know anything about music back then? They were all done on reels. The big reels, you know, you see in the boxes. Nothing was done on hard drive, Pro Tools, and all of that. They didn't have all of that technology in 95, 96. The brother is, well, he ain't a brother.
Okay, what year is he saying this happened?
He said he did this in, I don't know, 2005, 2006, when I wasn't even around, Chuck. But he's taking incidents from this guy named Damon Thomas, where... I got sued for beating on the guy. He don't even realize he's trying to take the response or take the credit of being somebody that got paralyzed. Half his body got paralyzed because they say me and some of the homies beat on him so bad where he got paralyzed on the right side, and a jury believed him. Gave me a $165,000 judgment.
And did he ever receive that judgment, Mr. Thomas? Did he get paid?
No, Damon. Damon was the guy who, one of the 60s was being his security. But he ain't never get paid from us. We ain't gave no nigga no $160,000.
Okay, so what is Big Cass actually talking about?
I don't know
then?
What Cass talking about. He's just creating things. Like I said, he done took about three different incidents that I know of and tried to ball them all into one.
Can you kind of outline briefly those three incidents?
I was trying and you cut
me
sorry.
Off. I'm sorry.
But anyway, got a judgment on one.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
For a guy when the dudes went to jail for coming in the studio with Damon Thomas, and we dealt with him.
And what year was that?
2000. It was when I remember Left Eye and Ray J was about 2001, 2002.
Okay.
And so got a judgment. Y'all can look it up. It's a judgment in black and white. Where we got a judgment. And then he said something about he knocked me and Suge out. Come on. Back in the 2000s, knocked me and Suge out.
And everybody knew if he came to death row with just him and somebody else, and you went through all of these.
It's Can-Am, the studio. He was supposed to get this at Can-Am.
And you knocked out Suge Knight and Reggie. You the man.
You the man.
Man. You must have had 30 motherfuckers sitting there posted up with pistols.
This is what he's saying.
Some of this is like, if you listen to it, you know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
But then here you have him. He was my club brother. He came to Chosen Few in 2013.
Wait, before you tell us about the Chosen Few, I want to get the third part of the story that he's merging.
Well, then he said he took the masters. That's when he said that he took the masters and gave them back to Afeni Shakur, which, like I said, there's just no truth to it. She already had the masters. That was our agreement. If Ms. Shakur had any problems with us after 98, 99, which we all went through a little, you know, situation where everything got resolved, and we started back doing business together. I did three albums with her after that point while Suge was in prison, that I did with her and her staff. And so if she had any problems with or still wanted something, she would have just stopped doing business with us. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always laugh at. Well, if we were so bad or we did this and did this to Pop, why would his mother, who was coming to clean up stuff, would go back into business with us when she didn't have to?
So have Suge ever dealt with Cass on any type of
To my business? Knowledge, I don't know if he ever met him. But I stopped dealing with Suge from 2002 to about 2006. And then I started back dealing with him briefly from 2006 to about 2009. Stopped dealing with the nigga again.
Yeah.
Then I started back dealing with him in 2014, 2015.
But we on the same page with that.
Yeah, so okay, I go in and out with him.
So what inspired Cass to say any of this? I mean, you're telling me, Reggie, that this is a complete lie, everything he's saying regarding
because of what we're doing now? Talking about his bitch ass. That's why. And I'm calling you a bitch, nigga. You supposed to did all of that. Come on, why don't you come and holler at a nigga? Come and holler. I'm easy to find. I ain't hard to find.
Okay, did you and Kaz have any beef prior to
this? I never met the man. I ain't never seen the man before in my life. I never even knew who he was until I seen him up on YouTube, Al Prophet Show or whatever, lying, telling this bullshit story that he's been preaching.
Well, apparently he's been making money off of owning the rights to certain songs from what he's saying.
Oh, well. Like I said, I don't know. I know he. Have y'all seen Tupac albums that's been distributed by the brother?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well then.
All right, well, James, you actually know him from the motorcycle club scene.
Yeah, exactly. When we first met, he came to the club, was joining the club, prospect for Chosen Few, and 2013. I mean, cool brother to me. Then the club started having problems. You know, he would take a lot of people. He got money. His lifestyle is real nice. He set up real good. He got a studio. He got all that. So the way he looked and presented himself is like, you know, he was really into the music business real tough. But a lot of people started saying different shit about him and saying this and that, which you say what you want to say. I stopped fucking with him when shit was going on in the club, and he picking chose right then and there. You know, my brotherhood for him, the way I felt about him, it changed. So I haven't seen him since, let's say, 2016. And from what I hear, he just got kicked out the club or left the club, and you know, in a bad way. Which I used to tell a brother, you know, you can't trust these clowns. And then I started seeing this. When Reggie told me about this guy saying he came up there and knocked him out, I reached out to a couple of my cats that used to be in the club to tell him to call me. He never called me. So I don't know if he didn't want to talk about that or how did Big J know this dude that I'm speaking on like that and Suge. But everybody in my club knew, not everybody, that I used to fuck with Death Row. You know what I'm saying? So where he coming with that, then, you know, I really wanted to talk to him about it because, okay, Reg is family. You saying you knocked him out? Come on, man. Keep it 100 with me. And he never called me. So I looked him up and see all of these things he's saying he done and doing.
Yeah, he's a clout chaser. child's closer to the 10th degree, but it's all good. But I can honestly say I never met the man, never seen him before in my life. Don't know who he is other than on YouTube.
And he's not a bad cat. He's not a bad cat.
His personality also coming across doesn't seem like he's one, but he's a liar. He said not a bad cat. This brother is a liar, or he's a comedian.
Is he lying, or is he just putting shit out there? Because everybody
lying.
On these doing lying. These interviews, they make up shit.
That's lying.
Get out there and put it out there. It don't have to be true. And then people start hitting and liking and all that shit, and you fuck around and getting paid for it. But, I mean, everybody on YouTube ain't true.
What did Big Pond say when he told stories? He say, true fact, or what did he say? He used to have a saying when he was, like, saying, like, I'm lying, I'm making a joke. He used to say that. And so if that's what he's doing, then he needs to say something like that.
Yeah, but eventually you're going to mess up your reputation if you have a track record of telling fabricated stories, and then no one's going to really want to holler at you,
exactly.
And then any opportunities for making money or working on projects aren't going to be presented to you.
Let me call and get my brothers to say I need to talk to Cass and get Cass down here on the show and talk.
Oh, I would love to.
And
I would love, you know.
Get it settled.
All right, know what? That'd be a great idea to get Cass to come down here, chop it up, and explain why he said what he said. Now, if you were able to get Cass on the phone through your motorcycle brothers, what would you have said to him or asked him?
I would ask Cass, you know, what you said about Reggie. You really went to death row and knocked Reg out? Mm-hmm. Now, you know Reg is my family. That's fam. Did you really do that? And if he said, yeah, he know the deal or whatever, well, Reg want to meet you because he telling me he ain't never saw you a day in his life.
Now, what do you think, James?
I ain't never been knocked out in my life.
You think Reg is telling the truth about
that? Yeah, I don't think Reg's going to lie about somebody.
I wouldn't hide about it. I'll be like, we ain't talking about that subject. Next subject.
Reggie keep a gun on his shoulder. Reggie would have shot him on the bucket.
I would have had to.
Or he'd have lost his gun.
I would have had to.
After I knocked him out, I'm going to take that there. But,
and plus, you're a law enforcement background. You have no problem calling the police to say, I just got assaulted by this dude, right? Would you do that?
That's not in my DNA anymore.
Anymore?
That's not. It's just not. Unfortunately, I done been through some things where it's not in my DNA.
Okay.
But I do have friends that we would have dealt with him.
Now,
either law enforcement or homies that I just shouted out.
What's worse, though? Him lying that he put hands on you or him actually putting hands on you? What's the difference?
Because
he comes off as
If he put hands on me, then that's just a straight-up fight. I don't have a problem with a fight or stuff like that.
But he's telling the world through all these interviews that's what he did
to
you.
So he's lying. So that's what's worse. I'm saying if we got in a fight, I mean, I ain't the toughest nigga around. Fortunately, I don't ever been in a fight where I lost because I've been in law enforcement since I've been 18. And
yeah, you guys always win. You guys got the baton, the taser, the gun, and the other tricks.
Unfortunately, I mean, one of the strongest dudes I ever ran across, we still don't talk to this day, Neckbone from the Living Die LA. I didn't lose that fight. It's just ways we not do it. And he's a strong dude.
Well, I'm going to have to take up a Neckbone. Neckbone knew who you was.
Yeah.
And Neckbone didn't want to.
And he didn't go all the way.
No, he was trying to get away.
Neckbone couldn't take. Neckbone, he didn't come like bing, bing, bing,
correct.
Let me go.
Correct.
Now, I know Neckbone.
Well, he's willing to get off the car. But I ain't going to dog Neckbone.
Yeah, exactly. Please.
I was just trying to say. No, you're supposed to. And I love Neckbone. I'm just trying to say that was the strongest brother I ever ran across.
Very strong.
And I mean, I was choking this brother out, and he was doing push-ups with me on his back while I'm trying to get him to comply.
All right, so does Big Cass have an open invitation to come to Gangster Chronicles and to tell his side of the story? You both cool with that?
However he want
to
do it.
I would love to have him come on the show. So
however
if you're listening, Big Cass,
or outside the studio, however he want to do it.
No, we're going to do this legit. I don't know
whatever
anything about what happened. I know you probably, James knows better than I do.
I know better. And this is me on everything. I know Reggie and I know Cass. I know Cass ain't, he's not the come out, fuck you nigga, this woo woo. I know he ain't finna get down like that because I seen the dude professional. Be professional. And I know you can be professional.
Yeah.
So just as men, you have a situation, and I'm saying let's get in here and let everybody hear this situation be resolved.
And you said a point which I know he's lying, but you made a point that he may have got me misconfused with someone else. I doubt that because I would have heard about Suge getting knocked out. The times we know that Suge got knocked out, we know about.
I was just trying to give Cass the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, you know who Reggie is because he done said with your fat ass. He done made comments like that. So he know who he is. But what I'm saying is,
well, I wasn't the only fat person around there, bro.
And then as soon as we leave here, I'm going to get on the phone. I'm going to call every last one of my brothers to get that brother on the phone. And bam, we're going to do it and resolve it right here.
Now, what were the issues at Chosen Few? Why didn't he last? He came in 2013 and he was out by 2016?
Yeah, well, you have
how common is that, where people only last 2 or 3 years?
Well, it's common. People only last, don't even make it past probation.
Okay.
You know, prospecting. You know, Chosen Few is a very, is my father's a Chosen Few. He was been a Chosen Few for 38 years now. And the history of Chosen Few is so amazing, man. You just wanted to be a part of it. So when I became a Chosen Few in 07 and just hanging around and then decided to wear that patch, man, it was lovely. But then the politics took him out the game. You can't treat everybody as if they was your brothers. Now, you got a bunch of men that you know for a month, but you seem like you've known them for 30 years. And y'all just click like that. You know how to ride side by side with him. And, you know, you ready to die for this guy. You know what I'm saying? When you out there and some motherfuckers pull up and tell you you can't come across this state and you're ready to die. You know what I'm saying? Cass brung that to the club. He was ready for that aspect of being a Chosen Few. He came with that, but he gave himself up by allowing himself to listen to other people in the club. You know what I'm saying? That ain't had that much time, no more time in the club than he did. And he ran with it. So they gave him a chapter in Ventura, I believe. And I knew it wasn't going to work because he was... You can't give everybody. You can't look out for everybody. You can't befriend everybody. And it just didn't work. It didn't work. So,
And what we forget, we've been watching Sons of Anarchy and all of that, and we believe that's how, you know, the motorcycle gang stuff been going down. But believe it or not, somebody that owned a Tractor.
Are you comparing my club to some motherfucking television?
Okay, I'm going to tell you something about your club. The guy that was the president of that club was a Compton cop with me.
Yeah, 50.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cops. There's a lot of cops in these motorcycle groups.
Exactly.
Now, you called it a motorcycle gang. Would you consider it a
club? I thought I said club.
I think you said gang.
I thought I said club.
Did he say gang? Did he call it a motorcycle gang? Yeah.
You know,
there are a lot of cops in these.
Exactly. So I'm just trying to say there's good people that's involved in it as well.
Yeah.
Y'all don't look at cops as good people. I look at cops as good people.
Well, Son of Anarchy ain't chosen.
Well, that was my point. That's what I was saying. Y'all look at it as, you know, I'm talking about the people out there, Son of Anarchy, blood in,
blood
out stuff.
But you never did address what was the final straw for Kaz and the Chosen Few?
Well, Kaz finally seen that he wasn't going to get his way and be able to do what he wanted to do with his chapter. So
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The national or whatever, I wasn't there, so I can't really too much speculate on it. But some say they took his colors and kicked him out. I heard on an interview by him, from him, saying that he walked away from the club and he's forever hating the persons that did it. So he got some personal vendettas with some of the people in Chosen Few, which we all do when we leave. You know what I'm saying? But he just wasn't ready for that type of shit to you know, he's all in, but the motherfuckers he fucking with ain't. And he's not paying attention to the people that's really telling him that, you know, slow your roll, this dude ain't good. So that's how me and his friendship went bad. He didn't listen to me. And I've been there way longer than him.
You remember your last conversation with Kaz?
My last conversation with Kaz. We was at a annual meeting, and I went to shake his hand and say something to him. And the national at the time, me and him going through it, and he was telling some of the club members, don't fuck with Big J and Whoop Whoop, and don't fuck with Mooney, don't fuck with him. If y'all do, y'all lose your colors. He didn't want to shake my hand. He had like he has. He didn't even see us. So, fuck him. You go on about your business and you do your thing. And me and him ain't spoke since.
All right. Well, Big Cass has an open invitation to come on the show, Gangsta Chronicles, to tell your side of the story whenever you want. Let's move on to the next topic.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk here in Los Angeles over the years about the relations between blacks and Mexicans, blacks and browns, blacks and Latinos. And for a long time, this wasn't even an issue, especially like the 70s, 80s, and maybe the first part of the 90s. It really wasn't even a topic. But I think things started to change as the Mexican population started to grow.
Yeah.
And they started to be the dominant group. I remember Compton was like 90% black in the 70s, early 80s. Now you're looking at it flipped.
You go to Compton now. And the Mob neighborhood, Limewood neighborhood, Lutus Park, you see all Mexicans.
70-30 Mexicans.
Yeah, they buying the homes up there like crazy. But can you blame them? I can't blame them. You know,
no, because blacks are moving out to the Inland Empire. They're going to Antelope Valley. They're going to Lancaster, Vegas, Palmdale, Rancho Cucamonga.
And they moving in. And they taking over those neighborhoods.
So the question that was posed on our page was, what's the relationship like when the demographics start to change, especially in terms of the gang structure?
Well, basically, the Mexicans got the upper hand now. And they have demonstrated that a few times. One Mexican cat went on a rampage. You remember that?
I remember.
And he was killing motherfuckers coming over the bridge.
From CV70.
Yeah, from 70 and over the bridge. He was doing his thing. And the cool thing about that was, you know, us as, you know, being black, we didn't stick together and we didn't draw together and say, fuck it, let's get this motherfucker. Yeah. Am I wrong?
Well, they tried. They just couldn't find him. He was hiding out and stuff. But they eventually got him, or the police eventually
the
got
police
him.
The police killed him, didn't they?
Yeah, the police.
So who is this guy? Since he's dead,
I can't think of his name right now. I could text Pops and get it.
What year was this happening?
Oh, this was 2000, maybe 99, 2000. But he had niggas scared for a minute. It was mainly the Looters Park dudes, though, not the mob. He was over there with the Looters Park dudes.
But
it happens that way. But the problem that I always had with the Mexican, if I was a gang member, which I'm not, and I never was, I would have a problem with them because we'd be cool with them on the streets and all of that. But they find out that you cool with them in jail or in prison, do you know they will not even talk to you? They will not even speak to you.
That's the same way with us in prison.
What, who?
We can't fuck with the Mexicans in prison.
I got that, but that's my point is, I don't see how we'd be cool with them, y'all be cool with them and stuff on the streets and stuff, and then y'all can't, and then when they go, and you went to high school and school with and all of that, they go to the prison, they won't even talk to you.
Everything's divided on racial lines in prison.
Well, because you have the Mexican mafia pretty much running the shit. I don't care where you're coming from. They have rules and regulations.
Yeah.
You're not going to break those. Just like the BGFs and the
BGLs.
Blood gang. Yeah, they pretty much was running when I was in prison.
You talking about the 70s then?
Yeah, when I was in prison in the 80s. When I was in the prison in 80, they were pretty much dominating there. It was a lot of BGFs in there.
Yeah.
It was a lot of, the blood gangs and all that.
Let this for you,
we had to follow the rules, too. We had our section that we had to kick it on, and the Mexicans and whites had theirs. So it wasn't no mingling, because just like that, something can break out. You know what I'm saying? Blacks fought for blacks. It's the same thing on the streets. We had the 7-0s. Was loving us on the streets.
Yeah.
The CV70s was family.
Yeah, then there were black members of CV70.
Yeah, partying and drinking the whole nine. Marcus Nunn, China Dog. Was they would do anything for him.
I think China Dog actually has a CV70 tattoo.
He do.
He speaks Spanish.
He do. He speaks Spanish. One of them got a baby by
And he's
one.
A Looters Park Pyro.
Yeah, exactly. So as time went, time passes, should I say, now everything started falling apart. All the neighborhoods that had the Mexicans in between, like the Largos, like the T-Flats, the 70s, they was by Bloods, and some of them was by the Crips and was cool with them. But then here you have a situation where a Mexican get robbed, or the Mexicans rob some cats and then bring their shit back. So relationships start to fade. And once that's starting to fade, ain't nobody really fucking with each other nowadays.
Now, the first large-scale black-brown conflict in Compton that I remember was between the Tortilla Flats and the Fruit Town Pyros. That started in 1998.
And when they broke out, all hell broke out because they know each other. They fuck with each other for many years. I know your appetite. I know where you live. I know who's selling the drugs. I know who got this. I know who got that. So both sides was basically a no-win battle, and they can snatch and grab at any time.
Well, I can tell y'all one that was bigger, and this was with some 7-0s. They had different sets of 7-0s. They had the Tiny Lokes,
the Chicos,
which over there by where I grew up, Tiny Lokes were where we grew up at, my grandmother, Chico's. But anyway, it was this dude named G-Ray from Spooktown. What are G-Ray claims? Acacia Block.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the CVs over there where Acacia Block is at.
Oh, my God. They killed his brother. G-Ray was his name. And I swear he used to kill a Mexican a week.
You talking about Pooh? Is that Pooh's brother?
Oh, G-Ray.
Because Pooh had a brother. Pooh is from Acacia Block. Looney Pooh. And he had a brother that was killed by an Acacia Block.
Well, G-Ray was the brother that let them have it for the whole time I was a cop. I mean, at least once, twice a million
years. So this was before 98 then?
Yeah, you're talking the 90s when this one happened. But G-Ray let them have it every day, and that was major. I mean, he used to tear them up. and they'd go shoot his mama house up or something like that, but G-Ray didn't get killed for a while. I mean, he's still alive. But
that conflict right now is still going on right now between Acacia Block and CV70. It's actually Acacia.
That's the first one.
Spooktown and Farm Dog.
Farm Dogs.
Them three hoods is going at it with TV70 on that side of Compton.
They not the Chicos. It's the Chicos, the Tiny Lokes, and it's another set of Seminoles. I don't know. I need Tim Brennan in
now,
there for
here's
that.
Here's what a lot of people want to know. Is it just gang shit causing this conflict, or is it really racial and ethnic animosity driving it?
Well, Let me ask you this.
Okay, go ahead.
It's gang shit. Mentality, period. Then you got drugs involved.
Yeah.
Then you got territory involved. Back in the days, all of Compton was our shit. And the Mexicans did their thing. They didn't come out and just hang on the block and was, you know, running the streets, like doing it like we was doing it.
Because they didn't have a lot of numbers then.
No, and walk in the hood.
But you got to remember, they went to school with all of us, too.
Yeah, they had numbers. They had numbers.
They went to school with all of us.
Nah, because half those Compton videos that exist now weren't even out 15 years ago.
Well, you had 7-0s.
Yeah, the 7-0s were out. Largo was out.
Them the only ones we did. 155s. They were big.
They got like 30 different CVs now.
Yeah, they all over.
I mean, they're growing. I mean, they just
shit. I remember the white boy that we grew up with. That I don't know what Glenn claimed, but that was the first dude that I knew that got killed in that gang stuff. I guess I was in about the fifth grade. You remember white boy Glenn?
Yeah.
And he got killed over there on Pine Street, on the other side of Pine. I remember he went to a house party and got killed. That was the first time I heard of, you know, the Mexican gangs and all of that.
It's a lot of shit, man. So they've been around. Mentality. Now the Mexicans fighting for the territory.
Yeah. Because they control the Yay.
Yeah.
They control the Yay.
And the
cocaine.
So a lot of things come to play with all that. And it ain't going to stop because to some of us, it's like a job. To some of them, it's like a job. We ain't got nothing else to do. We get high. What the first thing you do when you get high and you load it? Man, let's go raid on these fools. Let's go. Let's go smash some heads. And then now it just ain't going to stop. It just ain't going to stop. And it's too much damaged goods in there to say, okay, this shit over. We all good.
The Fruit Town Pyrus and the Tortilla Flats aren't really going at it like they used to go at it. That's kind of died down a little bit.
They shouldn't have calmed down. Yeah, that's a few years. That's a lot of years.
It's been 20 years. That started 20 years ago.
A lot of people are gone. A lot of people have moved up out of Fruit Town. Yeah. A lot of people are doing penitentiary time. And also with the T-Flats. A lot of those cats is doing life in prison. So let's say they took their beef to the penitentiary, or the ones that said fuck it and got away, moved on up out of there. And that's how it was able to subside to what it is now. It's not that much. But if you run into each other and you see each other, they fight. They go at it.
Hey, how do you feel that maybe in 20 years Compton's going to be like 5% black?
Yeah.
That's crazy, huh?
But you know the bad thing
it's
about
it? It's not crazy. You see it. It's damn near there. Compton is almost all Mexicans right now. You go to Compton and soon as it's nighttime, you see they got their vending machines on damn near every corner. They got
taco trucks.
From taco trucks to fruit to whatever. They doing their thing.
Yeah.
On my block alone was all black. On our street, now that we are selling our home in Compton, there's only two black families that's still there.
Yeah.
And the people that are going to buy your house are probably Latino, Mexican, or from Central America.
Yeah. But guess what the council in Compton is?
Mexican.
No.
Most of all the politicians are black.
Black. And that's the crazy thing
about
it. The mayor.
But it ain't no...
The council. City Council, I think they have one Mexican, and he was just appointed. He wasn't even voted in.
Well, that'll change over time.
But that eventually happened. Because Linwood has a Mexican mayor and stuff like that. But.
Well, I think it's important to note that a lot of people think it's just black people and Mexican people hate each other in L.A., but that ain't the case.
No.
It's just you got certain hood wars going
on. All our neighbors were cool.
Oh, yeah, we all grew up, like I said, we
all
grew up
our
together.
Neighbors are cool. All the Mexicans on my block
They had
cool.
a problem over in 151 area. We have to look that up, though.
With the CV-155s?
Where they were telling them they had to move out. They had to get out. They were threatening all the Pyrus over there and their families, and was telling the black families they had to move out of the area. And that went on about three or five years ago. It was major over there.
This has been a Digital Soapbox Network production.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.